6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this Feel Good Friday. Heck of a Thursday night football game last night. Falcons winning in overtime, 36-30. How'd you spend your Thursday evening there, Ed Norris?
Watching sports. I watched the Mets play, and then I watched the Thursday night football game. So I did a lot of nothing. Well, actually, nothing. TV. I just watched some good sports on last night. I did a good football game, playoff baseball game. That's what I ended up doing.
Jeremy Kahn.
It's the same thing. I mean, look, it's a potpourri of sports. You could pretty much have, if you wanted the crappy college football games, you could have watched those, but mainly between the playoffs and the Mets, who I think they're in for a special season. I don't know why. I just have this feeling about them. And then, of course, it was a fun game last night on a Thursday night. We're used to seeing like a low-scoring game with these teams being tired, and these two teams got after it, and that was a lot of fun.
But I think the defenses were tired.
Yeah.
Because they weren't finishing tackles. They looked like they were a little gassed.
I think my write-up on this yesterday was like, you're going to be surprised at how good it... Like, I liked Atlanta. But I said, if you haven't seen Atlanta's defense, they're really good.
Better than people think, yeah.
Well, they weren't last night.
Neither Bucks are good defense. They weren't either. I mean, they just couldn't finish tackles.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what I was watching. And in the afternoon yesterday, I finished watching that Vince McMahon Netflix series that I was talking about.
It was awesome. How was it?
Really good. I enjoyed it. It's just nostalgic to me. Like, that's my childhood, and then looking at it, even into my... my years in high school, and then when I got out, I was one of those nerds that would camp out for wrestling tickets. Mm-hmm. I still have all the damn figurines in their boxes, and like my wife in our old house in the garage, like, are you gonna throw this stuff out? I'm like, no, it's worth something. Mm-hmm. I don't know to who, but it's worth something.
You kept all your dolls?
Yeah,
or something to you?
Yeah, I kept all my dolls. I have all the trucks with their faces on the side of it, the 18 wheel. Oh God, I had everything. Anything NWO I have in my
son used to hate that. He collected. I had to buy him wrestlers every Christmas. I had a dozen of them. Like, it was his thing. I used to call him his dolls. Ooh.
Oh, can I tell you that one of my favorites? This is a true story. When I was a kid, one of my favorite stories. My grandmother beating up my cousin. He was having sex with Big Booty Judy in the bedroom, and she
relative.
She wasn't a relative at that point in time. But Big Booty Judy, we heard something coming from the room, and my grandmother goes in with a Big John Stud rubber figurine and was just beating my cousin over the head with it while Judy's trying to get dressed.
Now, who was Big Booty Judy in relationship to the family?
Nobody. She wasn't in relationship to the family. It's just it was a girl around the neighborhood. Her name was Judy.
She had a big booty.
She did have a big booty. But anyway.
Her name was really Judy.
Yeah.
Judy.
She got beat up by Big John Studd.
Terrible
nickname.
It may
have been Kamala. I don't know. But she was just whipping his ass.
I mean, that's the difference between John Studd and Kamala.
There's a big difference.
A big difference for you to be confused.
But I was a kid, so it was a long time ago.
You were looking at Judy's big booty.
Yeah, when she was running away. He's like, damn, Judy, you got a big ass booty. Yeah. Big Booty Judy.
It's a great nickname.
So we called girls Big Booty Judys. But
her name was Judy.
Yeah, that's just kind of ironic. That's quite ironic.
Get your ass out of here. I think she hit Judy, too. Who are you? Get out of this house.
We had basketball workouts last night, tuning up for that the trip to New York this weekend, and then I watched Thursday Night Football. I thought it would be a high-scoring game. Well, exciting game, not a high-scoring game. I thought it would be an exciting game.
We kind of got both.
I love high scoring games, man. I can't stand a 17-10 game.
Like that Alabama Georgia game is kind of, regarding outcome, forget the outcome. I'm just saying one of those games that you're just into. Like, I know when I'm into a game when I haven't bet on it and I can't turn the channel.
Yeah. And for everybody who's like, it's a bad defensive game, the Alabama Georgia game. Well, watch in the next 2 years how many defenders from both teams are playing in the National Football League on a high level.
Yeah.
Sometimes the offense wins, man. They just win. So I enjoyed last night's game. Kirk Cousins does his thing, 400 yards passing, 45-yard touchdown pass to Hodge. He made a great play. It was talking about the missed tackle. They should have tackled him on the spot. But he, number 27 bit for the ball, and Hodge off to the races.
Do you think Kirk took everybody out to Magic City for his wings?
I don't think so.
He's got his own. It's just a plain wing. There's no seasoning on it. It's just a fried chicken wing.
I don't see Kirk going to Magic City.
There are a lot of things you could see Kirk not doing. Hell, for this first 6-7 years, I think half the people were calling him Kirk, and the other half were calling him Kirk. Yeah. Nobody knew.
That shops at Kohl's. You got to love him.
Yeah, I don't know if Kirk's going to Magic City.
Maybe. He's in Atlanta. It's an experience, man. You got to go there. Like, it's not just for the food.
Kirk's a Bible guy.
I know. You can still go there. Oh, you think there ain't any Bible guys in there?
I think.
Come on, man.
I think Kirk's legit.
Okay.
I think he is, too, actually.
I think he's legit. Yeah, I'll see him going there. Did he have 400-something or 500 yards?
509.
509, okay. All right.
I think his prop was 282, somewhere around there.
Do you get double the money back when you double their prop? No.
No, because they're definitely not taking twice as much when you're that wrong.
What was his prop?
Like 282.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which is kind of the norm for
a lot of people probably thought, no, there's no way he's going to get that 290 against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did hit that by halftime. Damn near.
It's crazy, man.
It is. 509 passing, man. Jeez whiz. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ed's Mets winning. Pete Alonso, Oppo. That's only his second opposite field home run of the season, I think. Second or third.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Second or third. And
Lindor looked good, too. He had a good game.
I mean, look, that whole – it's funny just because sometimes you look at a team and you're going, okay, there's nothing special about them, which is – like, and I don't mean this to be derogatory, but, like, they're starting pitching, nobody scares you.
No.
But they're – like, Sean Manaea is really good. Quintana looked good.
Yeah. Some is better than the parts.
Yeah, Tyler McGill and some of the other guys that they have. And then you look at their hitting lineup and you're going, man, where the hell did Tyrone Taylor come from? Harrison Bader was a guy that the Yankees couldn't wait to get rid of.
And the Cardinals.
Yes. And then you look at the top of their lineup and they're just getting it done because Francisco Lindor sets everything up. Again, if there was no Shohei Ohtani this year, Francisco Lindor wins the MVP in the National League. And then after that, you've got a nice little mixture. You've got, you know, guys like Pete Alonso, which we know what he is. I mean, he's a glorified home run hitter. Yeah. You know, you're not going to get too many singles out of him. He works some walks. But Brandon Nimmo, solid left-handed hitter. The ghost of Jose Iglesias. Where the hell did this come from? Yeah. And, I mean, he's been batting second for him. And then Starling Marte, who was supposed to be a big pickup for him a few years ago, is batting like seventh and eighth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a really – J.D. Martinez is batting fifth and sixth as their DH whenever they face lefties.
I think the winner of the Mets-Philly series represents the National League and the World Series.
You know what I feel like? I can't even believe I'm saying this. I feel like we're going to see the Padres and the Mets in the NLCS.
Me too.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. I think Padres beat the Dodgers.
It wouldn't shock me. They've got better pitching. They don't strike out. Unless it turns into postseason big lights and little brother gets shocked by the big lights. But I really don't see that with that group of guys.
Well, if it does happen, I take Vimbo.
Oh, no, I don't. Vimbo's for the Whites.
I take Vimbo.
No, I ain't Vimboing you. I'm cash happy.
Wait a minute. What was his bet again?
I don't know. He changed
the Dodgers don't
times.
Go to the World Series. That was it. Yeah, Dodgers don't $500.
That doesn't sound like a bet that I would make.
It does. We did it on air.
I think you picked the team. You picked the Phillies, and I picked the Dodgers.
I would never pick the Phillies.
Well, maybe you picked the Braves.
You know,
so
I would
wrong.
Never pick the Phillies.
Where's my money?
I didn't pick a team. The bet was the Dodgers. You were so convinced that the Dodgers would make the World Series.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm going to drag this out as long as I can.
So until if the Padres win, you owe him $500.
Basically.
Oof.
If the Dodgers get to the World Series, I owe him $500. They don't have to win it.
Right.
It's going to get there.
You know what the sad part was? I was probably going to say, don't worry about it, Rob. I'm taking every one of them, and I'm going to take him out and make him watch me spend it on myself. Go Dodgers! Ugh, God, that sounds sick.
Exactly. Ugh, exactly. Oh, man. Ravens versus Bengals over under at 6:30, but on the other side, if the Ravens send the Bengals to 1-4, do you think it would, knock them out of the race for the division? Also, what does it do for their head coach, Zach Taylor? Well, it was Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Those guys obviously has been good for a while with Burrow and the offensive weapons that they have. And then even from the defensive side of the ball, they got some really good players over there, former player in Geno and whatnot. So got mad respect for those guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game that has to be played. And I play for the Baltimore Ravens, and we got to play Ravens style of football.
That's Roquan Smith as they get ready for the Ravens, get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. Hitting the road this weekend. 1 o'clock start. The Ravens right now are 2-2. They trail the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 3-1. Both the Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals, 1-3. If the Ravens beat the Bengals on Sunday, Ed, does that knock the Bengals out of the divisional race?
I think so. That's a tough way to start the season. I can't imagine you come back from 1-4 with division losses. Uh-uh. They're going to be out of it.
Jeremy,
because the Ravens just getting started.
Jeremy, I think it all depends on what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. I think if the Steelers lose, they'll put them at 3-2. And then the Bengals still have another game with the Ravens, and the Ravens would have been the only team in the division they would have played. So they still have five divisional games to make up for, and I think it all depends on what the Steelers do. If the Steelers win, I think for all intents and purposes, they're out, because the Steelers will be 4-1, they'll be 1-4. But if the Steelers lose, giving them their second loss, I think they're still in it.
Yeah, well, so I guess I would say if the Bengals lose this weekend, I feel like they're out of this division race. They're not, but like I feel like they
are. Mathematically, they're not, but of course.
Like I just feel like that's too tough of a hill to climb, especially because if they lose this weekend, I think a lot of it has to do with their defense. And then now, as you're looking across the league, teams are making business decisions. You saw the Browns restructure Amari Cooper so they can trade him, where he's going to barely have a hit on your cap if you trade for him. So now they can probably get something, you know, pretty decent for him back for a veteran receiver. The Chiefs are talking about Devontae Adams. We've heard about him and what's going on there. The other part of this is there have been rumors that the Bengals, if they fall out of it, that they're going to start accepting trade offers for T. Higgins. So that could show their hand a little bit, too, if they decide to do that. But again, with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, they're capable of being in any game. And as Rob said, it may not be a must-win for the Ravens here. It feels like a must-win for the Bengals.
It is.
Just because, from a mental standpoint, getting down to 1-4, like that's a tough one.
1-4 with a division loss already? Mm-mm.
I think if they lose, Steelers lose, Zach Taylor's in trouble. Because you got to shake some things up to get back in and get people's attention. Zach Taylor's the guy right before the Super Bowl I thought was on the chopping block. Team messed around and went to the Super Bowl next year. And I think they got him off the chopping block, but they've done nothing since then. And I know a lot of that is because your quarterback's been injured. But your quarterback's healthy right now. You're 1-3. You go 1-4. Guys, I think Zach Taylor, his seat is so hot, he's not even sitting. I think he's standing.
Yeah.
I do. I,
people forget
that
how long he's been there.
That might happen in season.
It wouldn't shock me. He's been there for, what was it, 6 years now?
Yeah.
He's been there a while. And again, look, everybody's talking about, man, what a great coach they found. They've got their guy, and they picked the right one when the Browns didn't, and this going back and forth through all these things when they go to the Super Bowl. It hasn't been anything good since then.
No.
Nothing.
And I think that was a tremendous run by the players. So, I mean, I'm taking nothing away from him. But you're right, he's been there since 2019, so. Yeah.
So 5 years. Is it five? I always get this confused. Yeah. Was it?
Six.
Well, because the season wraps over.
Yeah, this is year number six. This is year number six.
Yeah, this is his sixth year.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't remember him winning Big 12 Player of the Year.
Zach Taylor?
Yeah.
As a quarterback?
Yeah, he was Big 12 Player of the Year.
In Nebraska? Where did he play?
Nebraska.
Yeah, it was Nebraska, yeah.
I don't remember that.
He must have been a good runner. If he was at Nebraska.
He played at Wake Forest and Nebraska.
How much NIL did he get?
Back then? On the record or off the record?
Did he play for Pete Carroll? No. He didn't make any money. Yeah, so I had to throw that in early.
Wow.
Ellen DeGeneres looking cheater. Sorry.
Wow. What did Pete Carroll do?
He cheated. He cheated, and everybody gives him a pass. He was one of the biggest cheaters in college football, and everybody gave him a pass. He left. He left USC high and dry.
Did he win?
They took Reggie Bush's Heisman away. It took like all these years to get it back.
Did he win?
Huh?
Did he win?
But he cheated.
If you were winning, you were cheating.
No, that's not true.
Okay, so how do you know?
Huh? What do you mean? How do I know?
How do you know they weren't cheating?
How do I know? No, I know they were cheating.
So how do you know so who wasn't cheating?
I can't point at everybody.
All right, so they were winning, they were cheating.
Oh, so I just let it pass then. Hey, cops, everyone out there, if anyone's speeding, there's got to be someone else speeding, so you might as well let them speed.
Well, there's some called to the floor traffic. Yeah. There's some. Jeremy, if they're all speeding, who do I pick?
Yeah. The black guy. Oh, see? Oh. Okay.
Who are you looking at me for?
He just stared at me. I'm kidding. Anyway, maybe.
Yeah, I think the Bengals, their team, I don't know if they're underachieving or their roster is just not built to
Their win. Defense sucks, man. It's so bad. And they don't, outside of Ja'Marr Chase, there's like T. Higgins coming back. He hasn't, last week was the first week we got to see him actually look halfway decent. But again, like he even said, he was walking into the stadium and some guy goes, T, I got you on my fantasy team. You need to put up some points. Play somebody else. I ain't the one. It's just like he's not involved with this. He's not into it. He's pissed off at them for franchising him. So I just think you probably have a disgruntled locker room a little bit, and then you have a very
So who are they disgruntled with? Front office?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's very easy to be disgruntled with that front office. Ja'Marr Chase, another one.
Notoriously cheap.
They're notoriously cheap, and now they have a guy in Ja'Marr Chase that's being a little bit ridiculous with his demands.
Well, it shouldn't be the front office. It should be ownership.
Well, yeah,
front office. Can, yeah, the front office can only do that's what fair. The ownership gives them. But players are taking out on front office because that's the ones who represent the ownership.
Yeah.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Steelers hold a lot of weight in what happens in this division. If the Steelers win on Sunday, then that's a domino effect of what has to happen with everybody else. Because let's keep in mind, Steelers win, Ravens lose. Now the Ravens are two games back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and looking at 2-3, not 3-2.
And the same record as Cincinnati.
This is you can call this a pivotal game.
There's no question it is.
For the Ravens as well.
Well, like,
it's not must win, but it's a pivotal game.
You come out and beat the ass of one of the better teams in the AFC, an undefeated team at home, and then you go on the road and lay an egg to a division rival. And again, both of them feeling like the situation that they're in is very important, then it's all for naught, you know, because you'd rather actually have the divisional game than the other AFC rival, truth be told.
You go on the road to lose to the Bengals. Don't forget, next week you got the Commanders and Daniels coming into town.
Yeah.
And then the Buccaneers, who were playing well, they lost last night, but they're playing good football. Then the Browns and the Broncos. I mean, the schedule is favorable if you beat the Bengals, Ed. If you don't beat the Bengals, now the schedule is questionable.
Yeah, it's this is exactly where the season starts to take shape. And you're right, because this game is pivotal, because if you lose, it pivots badly for you, because now you're tied with the Bengals, you're behind the Steelers. But if you win, all of a sudden, you're playing good football, everything's going the right way, and now you're at the top of the division, you know, with the Steelers. So I think it was an important game beginning of the season looking at it, but not, I don't know, the Bengals kind of be this bad. They're looking pretty bad right now. You can't lose to this team.
Brandon Hyde will be back next year. Some fans not so happy about that. We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, Ravens, Bengals, over, under, up next on The Fan. Time to play over, under, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. As the Ravens travel to the Queen City of Cincinnati, take on those Bengals. Let's start off with Derrick Henry, 99.5 yards rushing. Ed Norris, over or under?
Way over. The Bengals, their defense is not very good. They struggle. The Ravens are on fire right now as far as their running game. And it wasn't one game. The last two games, they've looked good on offense. I think they have a big day against the Bengals defense, and I don't think this game's going to be all that close.
Jeremy Kahn, I'm going under. The Bengals would be absolutely foolish if they don't sell out and make the Ravens beat them in the air. I'm going under.
I'm so glad you guys went first because, you know, I'll tell you how easy this is. This is one of the tougher ones that Joe's put together. I mean, just the first one. The rest of them are easy. But because you think about it, like 99.5 yards should be something that you feel like he should get. It's not every week that someone gets 100 yards. But to Rob's point, I agree. I think I'm looking more in the passing game getting it done this week than the running game, because their run defense has been so horrendous, they're going to have to sell out. They'll have to call some crazy blitzes at times and try to mix things up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go under here at 99.5. I think he has a great game, but that could be, you know, 12 carries, 13 carries for 70 yards.
You don't give up 145 yards a game on the ground.
I know. But like,
and because of that, it's the reason why I'm going under, because they've got to sell out.
Doesn't mean they're going to get it done.
I doesn't mean they won't. I just think, you know, I'm going under. I think they sell out on this one.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they don't do get that, maybe not. I was just trying to fit in. You guys took both sides of it. So
Mark Andrews, Jeremy, over or under 4.5 receptions.
I'm going to surprise everyone. I'm going over. I keep saying, one of these weeks, I'm going to be right on Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. They're going to throw him the ball more than once.
The Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. See, you remember.
I remember everything.
The Atlanta Hawks went, they were 500 on everything. I had them every time they lost. Yeah, I'm going to go over here 4.5 receptions.
If they settle on Derrick Henry, what's going to be open? Middle field.
Is that likely?
Middle field. I'm going over with Mark Andrews. So much was being made. Lamar Jackson saying what he said. And this is how the Ravens have done it. You know what I mean? You start complaining. They kind of simmer things down. Middle of that field is going to be wide open. I'm going over. I think he gets 5 more receptions easily.
Is there an issue that Rob and I are thinking alike today? I mean, we're on the same mindset. It's unusual. Same wavelength.
Middle of the field is going to be open.
Yeah, I agree.
Ed.
I'm going under. I think he has a good day. I'd say I could see him having 4 receptions, but I don't see a 7 catch day or anything like that.
You don't think he can get a half a reception more than that?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't think so. I think he's have a good day. I think he'll have, you know, 4 catches at 55, 60 yards, whatever. I don't know if he's going to have a huge day. It's just too many people to spread the ball around with now, because Likely is looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, mm-hmm. Ravens defense, 3.5 sacks, over or under?
Over. I really don't think the Bengals are very good, and I think they're going to have a really hard time with the Ravens. Van Noy is second in the league in sacks. They do a good job at exerting pressure, even when they it's not your star doing. I just said I think they're going to have a big day against them, and they really, I mean, they've lost 3 of the first 4 games anyway. So it's like kids didn't play anybody. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Commanders. They beat the Panthers. Which means the Panthers probably beat themselves. So I think they're going to have a really tough time with a good Ravens team.
Joe Burrow in 4 games has been sacked 8 times. I think they do their best to get rid of the football early because the Ravens do have such a great pass rush. They may get 2 sacks. They may get 3. But, Jeremy, I don't see them getting 4. I'm going under on 3.5 sacks.
This is scary today. I'm going under on the 3.5 sacks. I got to say this because I think we're all in the same boat that we think the Ravens win this game. It scares the hell out of me when it looks as easy.
Of course.
It's scary. And this is why I'm a contrarian and I look at things the way that I do. Mm-hmm. Is simply because I've heard so many people, experts, if you want to call them that, say this is a must win. That's why it's so important. Anything can be a must win. And you could still be a bad team in a must win situation.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what Cincinnati's look like to me. So either the sports books are getting it all wrong, which they typically don't, or we're just dead wrong on this. But I'm going under with the sacks here.
All right, Jeremy. Joe Burrow, 269.5 yards passing, over or under?
I think if they're trailing or if they're ahead, they're still going to have to throw the football. I'm going over.
You're going over? I'm going under on this. I can see 250, maybe 260. I don't see 270-plus against the Ravens. I don't think they'll have the ball very much. For him to put up those type of yards, Ed.
I'm going to over, but just slightly. I think he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. He's averaging 245 yards a game. So that's what he's been doing. The Ravens haven't been great against stopping the pass. So I'm going to go, he's not going to have a 300-yard day, but I think over 269.
Ja'Marr Chase, Ed, over or under 7.5 receptions?
Under. I mean, you can't let that man have, a 10-reception day, which is what you're looking at if you're talking about 8 or above.
I'm going under on that as well. I don't think he has 8 receptions or more. Again, could have 6. He could put up some big yards. I just don't think he'll have that kind of volume.
Can I give you an example? So yesterday, Chris Godwin last night, loved his reception over at 5.5. By the time I was sending it out, it went to 6.5. And you're looking at 6.5 receptions is a lot in a game.
Yeah.
I think he ended up with 5 last night in a game that went to overtime and was a shootout. And he's been their favorite receiver, or been Baker's favorite, favorite receiver since the season started. So 7.5 is a lot. If anyone can do it, it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been more of a, unless they're just going to pepper him, which I don't expect, and the Ravens are going to be ready for him. I think he's going to be bracketed.
Should be.
Not the entire time, but just giving him different looks. I'm going under 7.5.
Jeremy, Chase Brown. 59.5 yards rushing, over or under?
Of their 2 running backs, I think he's the one that can do it because he's a speedster. I don't think either one of them does it. This Ravens defense has been shutting down the run.
Yeah.
Unless they just have an off day, this one's going under.
I think 2 reasons he does not do it. The reason that you just gave that I'll echo, I won't repeat. But I think also because what Ed has been alluding to all morning, they're going to be trailing. You got time to run the football at that length. I think they would, unless he pops one long, mm-hmm. he won't have a chance to get 60 yards because I don't think he'll have enough carries to do it. Ed, over or under?
Under. He's averaging 45 yards a game. The Ravens are leading the NFL in yards against and rushing 57.8. Like he said, if he pops one for 40 yards, it blows everything out of the water.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I think the Ravens shut down the run again. They're leading the NFL by a long way in yards against in the run game.
And on top of what you've been alluding to all morning,
yeah,
I think when trailing, they're going to have to throw the football. Mm-hmm. You know, they may run every now and then, just try to keep the Ravens off balance. You know, you may have a third and four. You know, they line up wide and some kind of draw. But I just don't see them being able to really dedicate themselves to the run.
Running a lot in the second half. I don't think so.
We give out week 5 picks at 7:15. Don't you go anywhere. Shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde met with the media yesterday. And Mike Elias made an announcement that fans do not like. What do you have to say to those who want Al Manager gone? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde met with the media yesterday amidst the Orioles. Swept by the Kansas City Royals at home in a wild card round, and many fans are of the opinion that the Orioles will make a change at the top at the managerial position, but Elias addressed that.
Brandon and I, we have been working extraordinarily closely and successfully to bring this organization out of a very dreary spot and have produced a team that won 100 games, won the East, won 91 this year, kind of a rare back-to-back Oriole playoff team, and one that I believe is positioned for continued success the next several years going forward. And that is going to continue to be the case. And we're going to sit down immediately. I mean, we've been talking a lot lately, but we've been talking focused on how do we win these next games coming up. And that's been the case for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now that we're done, we're going to spend a lot of time together self-assessing, readjusting, coming up with a plan for the off-season. And, you know, he and I are going to be in on that together in the next season.
So, I mean, the guy, Elias said rare back-to-back winning seasons. Rare. And I love that he put that in there to kind of remind fans. You know, I don't understand where the sense of entitlement comes from fans. I don't. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, okay. Even if you're, in some cases, you know, Ravens fans expect to go to the playoffs. I get that. They haven't won a championship in like 12 years, but I get it. You expect going to the playoffs. Where does the sense of entitlement come from Oriole fans?
I don't know. It may just be sports fans in general. I think they get it because, you know, they follow sports, maybe not that closely. You know, they don't understand the whole concept of how this works because sometimes they say things that are so ridiculous. Like, do you realize how hard it is to go to a championship game in any sport? Never mind win it, but actually go. Like, everybody's getting all engorged about the Lions, and rightly so. They're one of the best teams in football right now. They've never been to a Super Bowl ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, calm yourself, guys.
How many winning seasons have they actually had? You know, like, good years.
Yeah.
And you can probably go back to early on where it was a little bit better. But let's be honest, and this is something we were talking about in the commercial break coming in. I was surprised. I shouldn't say surprised. Maybe a little shocked that people, once it was listed after the press conference yesterday, whether you want to look at Rakabaka and Andy Koska, JCM, all the guys that are out there, hey, Mike Elias says Brandon Hyde is back. The next like 200 messages are, I can't believe they're not firing him. What do you mean you can't believe it? Because you felt like he should have bunted in a certain situation, gone to a different pitcher, left a pitcher out there longer. Mm-hmm. And those, were you saying it in the moments or were you saying it after the fact when things went awry? Like, they did have a ton of injuries. I think he is a good manager. That's just, and look, people, we can argue about this and discuss this.
I think this year was a better managerial job than last year.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
I think so. And let's get something straight. When you don't think you think he should bunt and you don't think he should take a pitcher out, maybe there's a formula that he's following.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because they get down and they talk about all the strategies, and the strategies are based on the numbers that he's given. Who's giving him the numbers? Mike Elias' staff is giving him the numbers. Are they telling him what to do? No, but they're giving him the numbers.
Well, and this is the other thing that I bring up, Rob, when it comes to it. And again, I'm not saying every move that Brandon Hyde made was right. It's not.
No manager does.
But the fact is, when we get back to these things and people start going, oh, this is what should have happened, this was, you're doing it after the fact when you know the answer. It's like when people go, man, I can't believe Le'Veon Bell fell to the second round and the Ravens didn't draft him that year. You can't? It's because you didn't watch him in college. You didn't know how the draft was going to work. You know what? After you saw him in the NFL, you can't believe it. And it's always these knee-jerk reactions to because of what happened. And again, I'll say it and people can bitch about it. You're not right unless you're right. That's it. It doesn't matter when you have a results-driven fan base.
Let me give you an example. I was in the stands. I was just walking around during the playoff game. Mikel Garcia comes up to bunt for Kansas City. He attempts at a bunt. Fan in front of me says, see, that's a smart baseball team. Look at him bunting. He misses the bunt, strike two. He tries to lay down a bunt with two strikes. He got out. Now what do you have to say? Folks, let me explain this to you again. And I love it because people who don't go or don't have access love to tell you what goes on when you're there. Well, somebody told me, well, I'm there. Nobody has to tell me. If the game starts at 6:30, I'm there at 3 o'clock. I see both teams doing hitting practice. No one bunts. No one practices sacrifice bunts. Now, some of the guys who bunt for a hit, they go over that. But no one practices sacrifice bunts. So you want guys to go into a playoff game to try to execute something that they don't practice. That's stupid. Now, you can argue why they don't practice it. Make that argument. But for them not bunting in a game, they don't practice bunting. They just don't. It's no longer a part of your game. Stop with the get off my lawn. No, bunting is no longer part of the game. It's just not. I got news for you. In 3 years, you're going to stop seeing batting averages too. It's going to be gone.
Absolutely. The other part of this,
the game has changed.
And not that we're all just sitting here trying to agree with one another with this particular topic, but I think it falls down to it. If you go back into the situation, how many teams are having their 3, 4, and 5-hole hitter bunt?
No one.
How many? And like, even taken away from what you're saying, those guys aren't paid to bunt unless you want to take them out of the game and then have someone bunt. I've already said, like, my biggest gripe in the playoffs is when they pinch it for McCann. I watch too much of the Netflix stuff. But when they pinch it for him, you lose your catcher to bring in Emmanuel Rivera?
What's the number one stat that people, even inside of baseball, look at for hitters? OPS, right?
Yeah.
What does bunting come in on OPS?
It doesn't get you anything.
And GMs look at that. What's his OPS? You know, I told Ed Hans Alberto ain't staying here. Well, he's batting 300. Hans Alberto ain't staying here. OPS is garbage because that's what they look at. That's not it. So if I'm being judged on OPS my entire career, why am I working on bunting? Nobody's asking me to do that.
I just see a lot of smart baseball fans, and I do think a lot of the people are even saying fire Brandon Hyde are smart. They're just in their feelings. That's all it is. And that's why when Mike Elias said yesterday, I'm not going to make a knee-jerk reaction, and people are like, knee-jerk? This team's been struggling for 2 months. Yeah, jackass, because they've been injured. Everything's been bad. All you people that were talking about trading for someone, it was Tarik Skubal to put him over the top. It wasn't go get Pete Alonso from the Mets. It wasn't go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. from Toronto. It wasn't which major bat got traded. The biggest bat traded at the deadline would have been what? Jazz Chisholm?
Yeah.
Would that have been the biggest? Am I missing someone else? You know what I mean?
Like, where you put Jazz Chisholm here, though?
He plays everywhere if he'd have got hurt, but there was no need for him at the time. You didn't need that guy.
You know what's interesting about these fans who say, and we say Hyde has been to the playoffs, 2 years in a row?
Yes.
Right? Everybody's all hot on this season and angry now. 2 years in a row he's gone. You know who didn't go to the playoffs last year? Padres, Mets, Tigers, Guardians, and Yankees. This is their first year back.
And the Royals, right?
The Royals, yeah.
Yeah.
Why one of the teams was, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like,
Really? So this is the other part. Can I say this real quick? Because it bothered me with people were like, the Royals lost 100 games and went to the postseason because they spent all this money in the offseason and they made these trades. And people point out the trades. You didn't know who Urcic was before they traded for him. A former middle infielder that they turned into a reliever and he's looked good. And all the players that the Royals were trading for, they weren't necessarily on your radar screen to go make a move for. And oh, by the way, I don't think that's a great business model. The business model is to build this up and be sustainable. That's what it is, because you're not going to financially compete with the Yankees. We don't know what the Orioles are going to spend in the future, but people have to be realistic with what they're seeing. And I know there's so many people MFing me in the car right now. Feel free. I'm fine with it, because I feel like the same people that are doing that aren't watching these games.
Yeah, I'm in front of you MFing you, but not for that.
A sustainable future. Think of it. The Orioles lost 106 games last year.
Yeah.
Okay, they're in the playoffs now this year. They advance in a two-game, you know, essentially a two-game series. Okay.
I don't want to win one series. I want to win the effing World Series.
I want to do that for like 5 years in a row. I want to keep going to the playoffs. Like
Week 5 picks at 7:15, but on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Ed.
Yeah, I'm going to give my shovel to a woman named Marcia Carney.
Marcia?
Who is Marcia? You're going to find out.
Marcia Carney?
Marcia. I didn't say her. We don't use ours.
Is she in Cuba?
Dude, I don't know what accent you're playing with.
He hates that more than anything.
Only because it's wrong.
Give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Shovels next.